Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I like most of my neighbors, but the neighbor who keeps asking me, what are you going to talk about? There's no sports, that guy? Going to get a code red pretty soon. Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach, is joining us. I got a big question for you, coach. You ready?
Give it to me, John.
Who are you drawing up the tackle screen for next season if Penei Sewell's not catching that pass?
I've had several requests up to this point. Even Coach Salavea joined in there and thought he could go in there and catch one for us if he had to. So.
I keep thinking about, could anyone tackle Joe Salavea?
Gang tackle. I don't think one-on-one is a possibility. Just too much strength, girth, power. Be hard to bring that big man down.
Man, how are you managing this time? Because there's unknown, but you got to stay ready in case things accelerate with the rapid testing. So how do you keep your guys ready?
Well, just like we've always done, we stay ready by making sure that we're, well, number one, we always train. We always keep tabs on our guys in terms of doing the right things. But our guys are due back on the 20th because we trained for 9 weeks straight. We got word that the season would be postponed, so we allowed them to go home. Again, without any certainty as to what was next, it was the right thing. Now, the possibility of playing, we feel like we have a really good plan in terms of a workout plan, an acclimation plan, and as to a start date that can go anywhere from November to January. So we are ready. We will be ready, and guys will have the opportunity to step up and show what they got.
Penei Sewell, I know you were close with him. He talked about you like you were a father figure in his life as well. You got to have mixed feelings. You got to be happy for the kid on one hand, but your emotions as he gave you that decision.
Well, it's the right decision, and it's something that, look, we're always going to do right by our guys. And I know it's not a popular thing out there to do. You have to give them factual information. You got to give them exactly how things look, where they stand, and where they stand in terms of the NFL. And sometimes guys like those bits of information. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes I agree with their decisions, and sometimes I don't. But it's still my obligation to give him my very best. And that's what we would do. I've always done with Penei and his family. To not coach him for more than a year and a half, that is hard. But knowing the situation and his future, it's 100% the right decision and 100% supported. And I look forward to him becoming a very large donor.
The favorite Penei Sewell play that comes to mind?
Oh, there's a ton. It's hard because the game stuff, you always, because there's plenty of highlights of it, and there's so many different websites that break down play, college football play, and give guys grades and all that stuff. I like the practice stuff. That's the stuff that sticks out in my head more than anything, and just the countless amount of times, just sheer power. So blocks or double teams, gallop deuces, to backside reaches and cut off, to front side, just rip and reach, reckless reaches, engaging in double teams with tight ends, stray blocks. It goes on and on and on. I mean, that what a tremendous display of development, buy-in, performance. The guy epitomizes it. And think about this, John. He's 19 years old now. 19. I mean, this career could go on for a long, long, long time. And certainly, sky's the limit, man. He really is just getting started.
Give us an idea of how talented he is, because on a game, if you're not an offensive line person, you get caught looking at the secondary. You get caught looking at receivers. You got to see him on a daily basis, and you've coached a line of talented college linemen who have gone on to with great careers in the NFL. Where does Penei Sewell fit in that rank of players you've coached?
Oh, my Lord. Can't put a cap on that. You think about being a GA at Miami when guys like Vince Wilfork and Reggie Wayne are around, Ed Reed, you go to Alabama and the countless players there, right? The Amari Coopers, the Calvin Ridleys. The Deron Payne's, Quinnen Williams. It goes on and on. And I think of him as just overall, maybe because it's the truth. He's the best football player I've been around. It's just the combination of football IQ, want to, work ethic, just raw ability that, remember now, coming out of high school, a lot of people said, oh, right tackle, maybe interior. No, he's the premier left tackle. His ability to just digest a concept and just turn it into actual play and excel and correct anything that goes where he's like auto-correct. He can correct it with one shot, one word, one explanation, or on his own. Just different level. I firmly believe if you placed him at center, put him at tight end without ever rep, and I firmly believe he would excel at that because of his knowledge of the game and understanding how these concepts work.
We're talking to Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks head football coach. I got a chance to talk to Penei's father. He talked some about his other son who will play linebacker for you, and he said that Noah showed up to camp out of high school, he was 266 or so. Now he's 230. Now I tweeted that, and I got a line of people who want to come to work out at Oregon and lose weight. What's going on there?
Well, he actually came in a lot heavier than that. He came in at 275. He's down to 250 now. In terms of coming to Oregon and losing weight, I don't recommend it unless you really like just a rigorous type of life, because we're going to squeeze every ounce out of you, but it's okay. I mean, it's not like John Candy and Stripes now. This is a real program, a real tough one. So you got to be prepared for that. But Noah Sewell is, and I know people were excited and should be about the incredible. We recruited Noah independently of Penei because we just never want a player to feel like, hey, we're piggybacking this. And you can expect the same and more out of him at his position. He is that kind of talent, that kind of athlete, and that kind of mentality. So I can't wait to turn him loose and let him go show what he can do.
I think, you look at him and you look at his athleticism and Penei's athleticism and just sort of the size. Is Noah a guy you see as a linebacker at the next level, or is he possibly, could he be a defensive end?
No, he's a linebacker. And all the athletic ability goes to Miss Arlene. Don't let Gabe Sewell fool you, okay? She is the athlete in the family. But Noah is 100% linebacker. I mean, his ability to go from 0 to 60, the way he gets downhill, sheds blockers, block destruction, change of direction, come to balance, accelerate, decelerate, just a complete and utter stud is what he is. And he's a knockback tackler. You see a lot of times, you watch football this past week, you see some drag down, hang on tackling. This is a knock you back tackler that is just, he's a difference maker. He really is. So really fired up about the guy.
How is it for you to watch football without a game to prep for yourself? Usually the stuff's going on in the background, and can you watch it? Can you sit down and go, hey, look, I'm going to get something out of this and be constructive with it? Or is it hard to do that?
No, if you've got a, I love watching football, any kind, anywhere, anytime. I've watched so much stuff the past several months, and even now. And you could tell, let's be honest now, you could tell that time off, you could tell that lack of, or I should say restrictions as it relates to contact. It shows up. Football's got to be played a certain way, right? And to be played a certain way, it's got to be practiced a certain way. And if you don't, it's going to show up on game day. So, no, I'm glued to it. I just keep, one of these Nerf guns nearby so I could, shoot up my kids when they come and harass me a little bit. But I'm all in.
You got a chance to hang out with the kids. You said you went crabbing. What was that like?
Well, it was, number one, it was really an unbelievable sight. It's like being in a postcard up there by Haystack Rock. And I've never seen a crab that big in my life. It's been look like a dinosaur, coming out of the water. But it was spending time with these guys and getting the chance to coach them, just letting them talk. And we're blessed. We have unbelievable kids, and they did need this time. Time that we'll never have again. You'll never have God willing, you'll never have a pandemic, ever, let alone during the season or when a season is supposed to start. So it's been awesome.
Coach, in recruiting, you're going to get negatively recruited. How much of that chatter are you hearing right now, or is that noise sort of does it matter that you don't have games? Because other programs are going to sell, look, we're playing. Who knows if those guys are going to play?
Yeah, I think that's the nature of the beast, and I think who cares who negative recruits? I want to be honest with you, right? I think we're raised the same way, I imagine, and what your pops always teach you, if you better not be talking negatively about somebody behind their back. That's not the way we raise you. So I think guys that fall for that, they probably don't belong in your program anyway. So that's going to happen. We've been feeling it and seeing it constantly since we've arrived here. So now that it's happening now, it's no big deal. And it can never be used as an excuse. If a coaching staff member or myself ever come in and say, oh, man, we missed out on this guy because they negative recruited against us, and we got to go to another profession, man. It is what it is. That's just roll, Let's just roll.
I have to think if you are a stud offensive lineman in high school in America, anywhere, you're looking at a select few places, and Oregon has become one of those places, and that's since your arrival. Oregon was never the place where, a guy could, be one and done or two and done to the NFL on the offensive line. How does that make you feel to know that you're already probably in the conversation with every major offensive line recruit in the country?
Well, I just remember 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago, connecting with a guy by the name of Joe Salavea and just talking, meeting for the first time and talking about the importance of playing the trenches and the need for high-level development at those particular areas. And there have been some great linemen here, so I want to make sure I state this correctly. There have been some awesome ones here, but we wanted to increase the focus of it, make it a huge focal point. And that, with the resources and the quality of coaching hires, people pride themselves on development. Look at the development of Oregon football over the past couple of years as it compares to everywhere else, and the draft projections and the guys coming in and the young guys where they're projected. This thing is, the trajectory is like no other place in America, and especially on the West Coast. So we're proud of it, but we're not content. We want to continue to amp it up. Do I get excited about linemen? Come on, brother. People, they have their certain things in life that get them excited. To me, it's play in the trenches. And so I'm super excited about the possibility that this brings with it.
All right. So I told somebody when Panay Sewell won the Outland Trophy, I said, I think Mario Cristobal probably likes that better than if he had won the Heisman Trophy. Am I right?
I will never admit that in public. That's a tough one. I think all those awards, that the Joe Moore Award, the Heisman, Nagurski, the Butkus, the Campbell Trophy, all these things they're huge. I can't come out and just say that's my favorite one, even though it may be true, but they're all favorites.
It's going to be interesting to see sort of when you guys get on the field and kick off. I think at some point we all think it will happen. How much time do you need to be ready? How much time do you need with the kids to feel like that, they're in game shape and you can go out and play a game the way you want to play?
I think you need probably 8.5 to 9 weeks is what you need. You've been in shape. We logged 9.5 weeks in. They've gone home, but they are trained for the most part. And I think 80% trains the right way. There's a difference between training and working out, right? Like guys that are going to get to our age, they work out. When you're a football player, you train. Whole different animal. But you need to get back in the mode where you are training to be able to withstand the rigors of practice. And then you practice to be able to excel, withstand the rigors of a game and a season. So I think the 5.5 to 6 plus 4 model, or 5 and 4 models, somewhere in that neighborhood, 9, 8, 9, 10 weeks. I think those are really successful models that have proven to be successful and have stood the test of time.
how much are you consulted on future schedules? As in, does Rob Mullins come to you and say, hey, do you want to try to get Ohio State, get that game back on the schedule at some point? Are you having any of those discussions?
Yes, sir, absolutely. The best part about the administration, Rob, and you know, Eric Liddell, they always they like getting together and discussing those things. And that's an honor for a coach because it's not the same at every place, right? Usually just you're kind of hand-fed your schedule. Here you go. Go get it. And they're very aggressive, which is it's a great fit. I mean, that's why you do it, right? Why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you want to play the very best teams? I mean, before I go to the grave, I want to know. I want to find out, right? How good can we be? How good were we? So it's a great relationship, and I feel fortunate they include me in those processes.
I look at the books that you've been reading and some of the books by, you know, some of the former Navy SEALs and stuff, and a lot of it is, you know, you improvise, you adapt, you overcome, you have that mentality. And so I kind of think that whatever's thrown your way, that's just your mantra, right? I mean, it's you deal with what's in front of you. How about the kids, though? What are you hearing from players? How frustrated, how antsy are they to get out on the field and play a game?
They're frustrated. They certainly are antsy. It's we've got to walk a very clear line, a big fat one. It's not like it's thin. It's not like it's a gray area. I mean, it's got to be real clear in the fact that you have to be there for them because they're going through some things that are just different. I mean, you want to talk about you're on a routine, you're on a path, and you didn't get delayed on that. You got thrown off that rail completely. And so you got to be there to get them to open up and talk and see what they're going through. And then the other part of that is you can't allow them or yourself to give into the circumstances because, brother, these aren't unique to us now, right? I mean, everyone in the country and the world is going through this. And if you want to put it in perspective, you know, yeah, where everyone's getting hit. And I get it. A season is delayed and whatnot, but that scholarship is still being paid for, right? And that stipend is still going out to be able to pay your rent as a student athlete. And so is, you know, your eligibility has been, you know, expanded. You know, you got the extra year. There are people that are going through so much around this world in this country with that have been in businesses for years, lost families, have lost jobs. And there's that has to be made clear so that you just don't give into the circumstances and you keep just plugging away until this thing all, you know, lifts and then we're ready to roll.
Have they talked to you at all about how protocol will be with the rapid result testing, or is that still fluid?
It's fluid. Everything has been fluid. I mean, I could show you just dozens and dozens of charts of that have been started up since March, April, you know, back then. And because of a discovery or, you know, a movement like that, all of a sudden there's some things that are, but then what goes with it? What exactly, like you mentioned, what exactly is the processes that go with it? And costly and time effective and all that stuff. So we meet every single week and sometimes multiple times a week, especially when there's something that needs to be addressed right away. So, but I think we'll have more clarity this week and next. And be ready to tell the guys because guys have decisions to make, and that to me is the part that's difficult. You know, they're, you know, the way it stands right now, Pac-12 play, unless something unforeseen happens right in the fall, would be excluded from national championship consideration. Right, so that's something that, you know, that's what a lot of guys are kind of struggling with, just because they all felt we had a really good team.
Yeah, and I think everybody kind of looks at you guys in the Pac-12 and says the defense was going to be lights out. You had Penei Sewell left tackle. You know, you got a chance to, you have a puncher's chance to get into the playoff and rattle around in there. And how do you rectify that? Do you go work out? Do you, like, mentally, what do you do to kind of battle your own frustration with stuff?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, once you enter this football life, you should be right. Stay healthy. Processes help out. You know, I'm okay. You know, I'm pretty simple. I'm all about the processes. So that's what I'm geared to do, and that's what I'm doing.
Mario Cristobal, I appreciate you. Nice job on Penei Sewell, and we will talk to you down the road, hopefully playing a game soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks head football coach. Good stuff from him. Let's dissect that. 503-417-7575. Good stuff from Mario Cristobal. Roy in Portland's been holding. Roy, you got about a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, John. I just wanted to say, man, with all due respect to Mario, you know, he's a great coach, man. But let me tell you something, man. The Pac-10, man, the Pac-10 is pretty much, I'm sorry to say, man, it's like irrelevant, man. Like from just the whole west region of the country, from only school that has the fortitude to play is BYU. But from the Mountain West time zone all the way to the West Coast, football, I mean, if you just want to see, go on the fans' boards for the Big Ten schools and see how much they're going crazy about aligning with the Big Ten. They don't even consider the Pac-12.
Right.
They don't even consider the Pac-12 a Power 5. They're calling the Pac-12 a Power 4. They're saying it's a Power 4. Pac-12 is not – they don't want to have anything. The Big Ten fans in school, Ohio State fans, they don't want to have anything to do with the Pac-12.
Right. Dr. Doug Aukerman.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but – if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.